message is the engrafted word. The engrafted word. And as I always like to do, I'd like to add a few insights before I actually get into the heart of the message. I was looking just recently into this verse in 2 Timothy 3:7 again. And anyway, it says, now 2 Timothy 3:7, it says that men are ever learning. Now, it does not say that men are not learning something. That's what it's, but rather they are ever learning. They're always learning something. Lots of learning. Sounds like kind of like in Amos 8:11, where God brings a famine for the hearing of the word of God, which is actually, as we look at it, we realize that they're learning, but they're not coming to the knowledge of the truth. And so, the reason is because they're not hearing the truth. They're hearing all kinds of conjectures and, thought patterns and things that have little, if any, value, and so they're not learning God's truth. And would it be some kind of a coincidence that in Paul's first letter to Timothy, that he told him what the knowledge of the truth was and is? See, he says, God's will is that for all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, for there is. And what we understand is the basic foundation for the knowledge, or the basic knowledge of the truth, is that there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And so if this is the case, and it is, then this is the very foundation of eternal life, which Jesus says that it is in John 17:3. But it's also the foundation of everything that we can understand if we want the knowledge of the truth. And so, one God and one mediator, a man, Christ Jesus, is the very foundation for the knowledge of what we, of the understanding of the scriptures and our relationship with God. And without that understanding, from everything that I can see, there cannot be, there will not be, a truth factor. Now, we can actually learn the Word of God. And this, I came to that realization here some time ago. We can't really learn the Word of God. It's impossible. We have to experience it. And that's why I have this title, The Engrafted Word. See, in most of the translations, it doesn't say that. As a matter of fact, it's only found one place in the Bible that I can find it, which is in James 1:21. But other than that, it could be the engrafted. See, in James, it's engrafted, E-N. But it could be I-N-grafted, or what we find in other translations of the same verse, it says the implanted word. Now, I don't know about you, but as this whole thought pattern, begin to come into me, I realize that we are looking at the Word of God as something that we hear and that we understand, that we get with our intellect and so forth, but it's not. The Word of God is a spirit substance. Is not the same as what we're familiar with, so it is implanted inside of us. That's why we have the parable of the sower with the seeds. Now, God's words must increase, and men's words must decrease. At this point in time, that only is a hope. But that if we're going to have the fruitfulness of God's ministries, God's words have to increase. Now, God put so much of himself within his Son. Spirit in his Son without measure. And since God is a spirit, so that it is impossible for natural man to tell which is which. And therefore, they tend to make the Son his own Father, or at least equal to the Father, you know, like we have in the Trinity. One little, just out of context or out of sorts thing here, but somebody told me one day, well, we're still doing deliverance, but we've simplified it. It's not as hard anymore. We speak and they come out. And I'm thinking, lots of luck, boys and girls. I tell you how you know. We have several cases where Jesus did not cast the spirit out immediately. One of them, it came out that very hour. And another one, the boy had thrashed around in the ground and burned himself and everything else before he finally came out of the guy, the kid. Now, so deliverance is never over until the devil is gone. And if there is really a devil there, there will probably, more than likely, and I'd say from my experience seeing possibly over 1,000 deliverances, my observation would be that there is going to be a manifestation if there really is one there. If there's no manifestation, maybe there isn't one. Now, in Matthew 7:20, it says, "By their fruits you shall know them." And I just want to insert something. What about by their attitudes? In 2 Timothy 2:15, there's a phrase that says, "Rightly dividing the word of truth." Rightly dividing the word of truth. And I thought, come on, boys and girls. What men want to believe, which is an age-old problem, far surpasses the rightly dividing the word of truth or whatever. It's just not, you know. See, in Psalms 111:10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning." I mean, that's just the beginning of wisdom. In Isaiah 29:13, it says, "The fear of the Lord is taught by the precepts of men." Now, in other words, what that means is, it's how men would like to see it and explain it. See, fear has to be before love, or there is no love. People have criticized disciplinarians, and especially, you know, when you have children, children have to be taught to mind. They're not going to learn it naturally, because folly is built into the heart of a child, and the Bible says, and the rod of correction drives it from him. And I'd like to say that the devil, if he has free access to a child, that child is going to be a hellion. And so love follows fear. And if not, then love becomes what we have called sloppy agape. Now, I don't think God is concerned about what men believe. I mean, that's what people say. I don't think God is concerned about, I mean, I don't say that. I misread what I had here. People say, I don't believe that God is concerned about what men believe. And I thought, try Paul's approach. In 2 Corinthians 5:11, he says, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Well, this bold and brazen generation has a rude awakening coming. But aren't they able to come boldly to the throne? You know what? I've quoted that myself. You know, we can come boldly to the throne. But when I realized one day that the throne we're talking about is a throne of grace, it slowed down my approach to boldness to come to the throne. So it's a throne of grace and mercy and forgiveness. See, like two-year-olds, men hear half of a scripture verse and run with it to their own eventual destruction. See, like that song, "Well, I like what I believe and I'm not going to quit." And I tell you what, I know too many that like what they believe, and I'm scared or concerned about what their eventual outcome is going to be. Now, I guess the question is, do men actually have scriptural ignorance, or is it disregard for the scripture? And you say, well, aren't they kind of similar? They are similar, but there's a difference. In other words, if you're through ignorance, you might have a better chance than a disregard. In other words, if the scriptures don't seem to agree with men's doctrines, would they just as soon not know about it? See? Ignorance. Would they just as soon not know about it? Which, by the way, is the opposite of receiving a love for the truth. See, my eternal life does not depend upon what anyone else believes, but rather upon whether or not I allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide me into a truth foundation within the scriptures, in the Word of God.